you a high performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Hello, and thanks for tuning in today. I brought on Sherry Kalbaum to share with us the world of juicing and why so many nutrition experts consider it their top health hack. Sherry Kalbaum is a leading authority on juicing for health and detoxification. Known as the Juice Lady and America's most trusted nutritionist, TV chef, and celebrity nutritionist, she's pioneering the global fresh juice movement. Sherry is the author of 35 books, including her bestseller, Juicing for Life, with over 2 million books sold. Sherry has received 2 Lifetime Achievement Awards and was also awarded Juicing Expert of the Year 2019 by Global Health and Pharma Magazine. She was George Foreman's nutritionist and the other spokesperson for the George Foreman Grills. Sherry has lectured and taught around the world, including consultation for the royal family of the UAE. She and her husband offer juice and raw foods retreats throughout the year. If this kind of thing interests you, you can check out the show notes at mindbodypeak.com/71. Even if you're a hardcore carnivore, you'll want to listen up, as raw foods have some benefits that you won't get in animal products. If you enjoy this episode, please take the 30 seconds to scroll to the bottom of where you found it and leave a rating and review. That's what helps this show get found and how I continue to bring you thought-provoking guests. And with that behind us, let's dive in. Sherry, welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance.
Thank you. What a pleasure. Always a pleasure to talk about my favorite subject.
Yep, and we'll jump right into it with the unusuals or non-negotiables you've done so far today for your health and performance.
Yes, and it is unusual for a lot of people. I start my day with a liver gallbladder cleanse shake every day that I can when I'm home. And it's citrus juices, garlic, olive oil, and I put in some ice and water and blend it all up. It is excellent for cleansing and detoxing the liver and the gallbladder. And most people have never heard of anything like that. It's like, whoa, that's unusual. So that's my first starter. And then celery juice, excuse me, a big glass of celery juice. Celery is extremely good for so many things. And it's a wonderful starter for the day as well. And then after our show, I'm going to make a smoothie. And I do that with fresh juice, usually carrot. I've got some zucchini on hand. I've got ginger. So I'll put in a big chunk of ginger, about half a lemon, and anything else that's sitting in the fridge, you know, greens, I might toss in there. I juice it all up, put it in my Vitamix, put in an avocado, blend it all up. And that's my smoothie. And I put some collagen protein on top and some pumpkin seeds. So yeah, a lot of people think that's pretty unusual, my whole morning regimen, but it's very life-giving. And I'll tell you, when I drink that citrus shake every single morning, my body goes, oh, thank you. It's like, oh, liquid gold, liquid life. I just feel like my cells are coming alive. And I'm doing a retreat this weekend, our big juice and raw foods retreat. And I've been looking for a long time and I just found it, a drawing of a happy cell. I'm going to find one day, the happy cell drinking juice, but it's like this cell going, yes. And I just feel like all my cells do that. Like they're going, yes, thank you. This is so good. I can take this right in.
So does that mean you're having 3 separate drinks / shakes every morning?
Yes. Yeah, I have the citrus shake and the juice and then more juice, but it's blended up to be like a smoothie with an avocado.
why do you separate them out like that rather than having one huge, massive smoothie slash juice?
Well, the liver gallbladder cleanse is such a unique combination of ingredients. And I feel like it gets right into my liver, gallbladder first. The recommendation is to drink celery juice by itself if you can. A lot of people really don't like the taste of celery juice, so they just say, no thanks. I'm putting it with other things, but I drink mine. I don't like it either, but I just go, okay, we're doing this. You know, it's a big glass, 1, 2, 3, we're getting this down. And then my smoothie, I don't know, that's like the everything else is going in there. That's how why I separate them out. Mm.
So if you were to take this, your routine, and I'm sure you've done this plenty of times, actually, you were to pitch this whole lifestyle, adding smoothies and juices into people's routines, what would you summarize as like the elevator pitch for why this is an important thing to add to your day?
Yes. And for a lot of people, they're not going to do my three separate things. They're going to do one. That's it. It's either a juice or a smoothie and boom, they're out the door, you know, because people are so busy. But why should you do this? Why should you start with juice, raw foods? It is going right into your system. It is a better wake up than several cups of coffee to me because it's feeding your cells and it's bringing everything alive. So you're drinking a big glass or a big shake, whatever you're doing, of vitamins, minerals, enzymes, phytonutrients, biophotons. Why do we want biophotons? They're in raw foods, right? Raw plants. Juice them up. We've got a big glass of biophotons. What are they? That's the light rays from the sun that the plants take in and create these photons. When we drink them, when we eat them, they're going right into our cells and our mitochondria, which is our little energy units of our cells, take those in and they produce ATP and the biophotons help them produce ATP. ATP is our energy fuel. So boom, all of a sudden, you've got more energy, right? And everybody on earth is looking for energy in the morning. That's why there are long lines at coffee shops everywhere. People are getting their lattes, their coffees, they're needing energy. But I'm saying, go this route, go with something, even if it's just one glass. My motto is one glass of juice a day can change your life. And it really can. Go with something raw, make your shake, whatever, or your smoothie, whatever you're going to make, but start your day with raw because it's really going to feed your cells and it's sustaining. Like if you have a big cup of coffee, a big latte, whatever you are used to getting in the morning, it's not going to sustain you. Like maybe mid-morning, you're feeling kind of low. Again, like, oh, I need something, you know, to pick me up, get me going. That's when people often turn to sugar, something sweet, kind of as a little pick me up. And that is really not good because that makes your blood sugar spike up. Then it dips lower than it was before. And now you're like really dragging. Okay, it's lunchtime. I better go get, you know. So what do people often run off to? Some fast food that's going to have more sugar in it and fat and salt and all this horrible stuff. And by mid-afternoon, you're just really not feeling so swift at all. You're needing another pick-me-up, right? So you run out for a latte maybe. You're on a roller coaster ride throughout your day of spikes and dips in blood sugar and other chemicals in your body where juice and smoothies, raw foods are very, very sustaining. I find that throughout the day, I often like it'll get to be lunchtime and I'm not really that hungry. And I often forget about food and then maybe I'll get to be one or two and then, oh yeah, I need something. So it's very, very sustaining.
For the biophotons, are those degraded by cooking foods or say animal products? Is it only present in raw fruits and vegetables, raw produce?
Raw produce. Cooking does destroy it. Yeah, they're more fragile. They're like enzymes and vitamins. So when we cook our plants, we destroy some of that life. I call it the life-giving substances of our plants. I don't know about animal products, raw. I haven't seen anybody test for that as to what the photons might be, but I know that they're in the raw plants.
Can you break down and define some of the terms like juicing, blending, smoothies, all these different things around the core topic today?
I would love to, because this is a point of such confusion for a lot of people. Blending is keeping everything in one container. And a lot of people are sold things like the Magic Bullet, the Vitamix, and told that it's a juicer, but it's a blender. Anything that you use to put your produce in and keep it all in one container where it just blends it all up is a blended drink or a smoothie. A juicer, on the other hand, is going to separate the insoluble fiber from the juice. And different juicers do that in different ways, but you'll end up with clear juice or fairly clear, depending on your juicer. And then the pulp or the insoluble fiber gets ejected at another point of that juicer. So there is a big difference. And why would you want to do one or the other? Juice goes right into your system. It is broken down. It's like a pre-digested food. I always say there's a place for both in our healthy kitchen, in our healthy lifestyle. But I love juice because there's nothing like it. It's pre-digested food. It goes right into your system. It's getting right into your cells. It's therapy. It's liquid life. It's vitamins, minerals, enzymes, and phytonutrients in a glass. And I've talked to several doctors who have observed their patients, and there's nothing like fresh juice, I've been told. And I've made the same observation. I've counseled people from all over and made the same observations. Nothing like fresh juice. But that isn't to say you can't have a smoothie, you can't have a blended drink. Of course you can, and I do. There's a place for both. Just, I recommend, do both, try both. And I know you'll feel the difference. When I drink a big glass of juice, my cells know a difference between when I have a smoothie and when I have a fresh juice.
Mm, interesting. What about the proponents of smoothies saying that you don't produce as many digestive enzymes and there's benefits to chewing your food and everything? And it seems like you would get more of that from a smoothie than juicing.
I wouldn't disagree. Now, there are centers where they tell people, chew your juice, hold it in your mouth longer, swish it around. Most of us do not do that. We're in a hurry, right? We're going to get that down and off we go. So you're right. Holding things in your mouth, getting those enzymes going and mixing in there is an important factor. However, back to the juice. You can get more into a glass of juice than anything else, more produce, and you can just begin to consume more things than you would ever do with just a blended drink. For example, the basis of broccoli, the stems of asparagus, things that we would normally throw away, you can save in juice. Most people would never blend those up because they're going to be very fibrous, right? They're not going to be so tasty. So I'm about getting more things in your diet that you would never get in any other way. And juicing is your answer. So both. And on top of that, eat your high fiber diet where you do have to chew a lot. You know, your vegetables, maybe they're lightly steamed, maybe they're raw, maybe you do a quick stir fry and you're chewing because you've got your raw vegetables. So it's like, do the whole thing, do it all.
Yeah. Like you were saying, I think there's benefits to the insoluble fiber. Also, you can get that from your diet. You can get that from smoothies. But also, what about the blood sugar effects? Because one problem with juicing, as it's typically used, fruits condensed into a small little cup, like say 6 apples, which you could never eat 6 apples. You'd be full long before then. But then you don't have the same fiber that you would get when you eat an apple if you juice it and you discard it. So are there any effects on blood sugar compared between the two?
There are. And you just talked about my big, don't do this. My big no-no is to juice up a whole bunch of fruit. Because we can get fruit many ways. People love fruit, right? Who doesn't like a piece of fruit? People will eat fruit. But people don't eat their vegetables, right? So I say use small amounts of fruit. lots of vegetables. Just use fruit a little bit to sweeten and flavor if you're going to use it. I don't even use fruit, but rarely in my juices. I use lemon and lime. Those are fruit, but they're very, very low sugar. And a little bit of carrot, that adds some sweetness. And then I just start putting in tons of vegetables. So eat your fruit, drink your vegetables, and eat your vegetables is what I say. And do watch your sugar, because yes, if you're juicing up a bunch of fruit and people love that sweet fruit, right? Well, you're going to get too much sugar. But I found there is a drawback to blended drinks because people don't like the taste of blended up kind of mushy vegetables. That's not very palatable for a lot of people. Yeah. So what they like to do is put in several pieces of sweet fruit, bananas maybe, berries are your low sugar fruit, but maybe, you know, they're going to add in some other higher sugar fruit and then a little bit of greens, maybe a handful of spinach or a little kale or something, but it's not dominant vegetables. And they're still getting a lot of fruit. So I am always saying keep the fruit down in your juices and your blended drinks. Keep it to the low sugar fruits, like the berries are excellent. Any of the berries, apple is a good one. And green apple is your lowest of sugar of that. Pear is also fairly low sugar. If you can stick with those low sugar fruit for juicing and for blending, you're in a better place. And then eat your other favorite fruits.
Yeah. Sherry, I heard you speaking on another podcast and you mentioned using the tips of your asparagus in a juice, and I misheard you and thought it was in a smoothie. So I did that and got lots of pulp, fibrous pulp that wasn't that delicious. And I was like, no. I like the idea of it, but it doesn't work. And now I see that there's a time and place for both, like you were saying.
Yes. Yes. So I steam the little tips of the asparagus and then juice the rest of it. You know, the hard part of the asparagus that we just toss. But you're right. Blending it is not going to work. Juice it. And then you're going to get it all that goodness and a savings too.
Yeah, exactly. Cut the grocery bill a bit and get some extra nutrients that you don't get elsewhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
A second ago, you mentioned some of the lower sugar fruits to include, but can you give people a taste of what some of the higher sugar fruits they should avoid are, or minimize at least?
Yes. So I mentioned bananas before. Pineapple is very high in sugar. Watermelon, surprisingly, even though it's just very high in water, it's still pretty high in sugar. Mangoes, papayas, kind of in the mid zone. And then, well, peaches and plums, I think, would be a little closer to lower sugar, but still a little higher than the low sugar ones I mentioned. So those are pretty much the ones that people use a lot. Grapes, though, very, very high in sugar. And now that we're talking about fruit, I want to mention something else. Go for organic with most of these that I mentioned, because the thin skin fruit, they're just spraying those pesticides right on them. Most of those are on the Dirty Dozen list, high pesticide residues in them. So when you're buying your fruit, your berries and your grapes and your apples and peaches and plums, pears that don't have thick skins, as a kind of a protective barrier, make sure you're getting organic. Otherwise, I always say you're getting little pesticide balls. That sounds really unappetizing, doesn't it? But all that's going right into your little grape or your little berry or whatever. So very important to look for organic.
My heuristic I use is if it has a skin and you're eating the skin, you want to get organic. Or if it grows out in the open as you consume it, say the leafy vegetables, there's no skin or protective coating around those. Those are another thing, right, that you want to go for organic whenever possible.
Absolutely. Yes.
What about smoothie upgrades, juice upgrades, like ingredients you like in juice that people might not have heard before? You've already mentioned a couple, ginger, some of the citrus. Yeah. I don't think that's as common as it should be. What are some of the other ingredients like that do you think are essentials?
When I get radishes, I juice the tops, the little radish greens, and people never think about that. We just chop them off and usually throw them away. What are you going to do with them, right? But I juice them. So that's another unusual. At our little markets here, I can get turmeric, fresh turmeric. So I put in a chunk of root. Turmeric is like fabulous. There are more than 6,000 studies on turmeric and all the amazing benefits from anti-inflammatory to fighting cancer, and on it goes. So excellent. If you see it at your market, buy it and juice it. It's excellent. You can blend it too. It will blend up pretty well. And ginger will blend fairly well as well. And then, of course, we mentioned the broccoli stems, asparagus stems. How about parts of cauliflower that you'd normally throw away? You can juice those. And that's not something people ever think about. So you can start saving parts of vegetables that you would normally throw away and get them juiced up.
You also mentioned adding olive oil. That wasn't a juice, though.
That's my liver cleanse.
Gotcha.
So I juice up, but some mornings, if I'm really in a hurry, I don't even juice the citrus. I just take off the peel. I just shave it off really fast with a knife, go all around it, put in lemon, lime into my Vitamix, and put in a couple garlic cloves and about a tablespoon or two of olive oil, some ice cubes and water, blend it up, and off I go. It has a really great liver gallbladder cleanse. And here's the thing I want to say that we should all think about, and very few people ever think about until they're in crisis and have to have their gallbladder removed. No one should ever have to have their gallbladder removed. If we drink these citrus shakes on a regular basis, it will keep your gallbladder and your liver cleaned out. And then you can do once or twice a year a major liver gallbladder flush. And that should keep them healthy for all of your life. You should be able to have your all of your body parts till the end of your life, not have to have one removed.
Yeah. I interviewed a lady on the show who had her gallbladder removed because she was told that she didn't need it. Little did she know that she's on digestive enzymes and other supplements just to replace the function that she no longer has.
Exactly. I have talked to numerous people who are very regretful that they did have their gallbladder removed and wish that they would have tried some heroics nutritionally before they agreed to that, said maybe they could have saved it, you know, because they paid a price. It's not been pleasant.
Yeah. Out of all the different bodily systems you could target, why do you choose the liver and gallbladder in the morning to start with?
Oh, the liver is one of our most important organs because all the blood is filtered through there. It filters out a lot of toxins. It's a major organ for so many functions in our body. It just goes on and on. It's like a little processing plant. I even have slides of little characters coming and going from the liver doing all of these things, distribution of nutrients and filtering and cleansing and taking out the trash, so to speak, for our body, helping with that. And so important to keep it healthy, strong, fired up, ready to go. It's very important for weight maintenance. A lot of people get to a point where, they're trying to lose weight and they're losing some pounds and then boom, they hit the wall. And they're not losing anymore. What's going on? And I would say probably need to do a liver cleanse because it's probably congested. You get your liver cleaned out, it's going to fire up. You're going to start losing weight again. Every time it works, they get back on track. So I could just go on and on about the liver, but it's just really important to care for it well. And I always say this, who of us would ever not change the oil and filter in our car? Just keep driving. You know, the lights are on, they're flashing at you, your little sticker says go, and you just get, oh, I'm just going to forget it, you know? Well, I did that. My very first car, I was very young, my first VW Bug. I missed that lesson. No lights flashed for me, though. I did not change my oil, and I died on a California freeway. It died. I didn't. It died on a California freeway, and I could have died with it. It was just very scary to barely get over to the side of the road. And all the light bulbs went on in my head. This is like our body is like this car. Very important to change the oil. What's that? The oil is our blood. Very important to change that filter, clean it out. Well, that's your liver cleaning that filter. So you cannot just drive this car forever and expect it to function well without cleansing it. But we don't think about that. Doctors don't tell us. You get diagnosed with high cholesterol. One of the first things they should say to you is, do a liver cleanse. Cholesterol is made in the liver, right? Do a liver cleanse. Nobody rarely ever says anything like that. So I'm at getting to, let's get to the root of things. The root of things is cleansing, detoxing, and revitalizing and feeding.
Yeah. I often call the liver the alchemic center of the body because it has so many cool roles, and it transmutes one compound into another and produces things. In my view, it's the most fascinating overlooked organ, and I wish people would pay more attention to it. And like you said, it has like built-in detoxification abilities, but we need to provide it the raw materials to perform the way it should be.
Yes, absolutely. And we don't give it what it needs so often with a standard American diet.
Yeah. That's one reason that juicing and adding liquid nutrients to your diet is so useful.
Yes, can get right into your cells. Yeah, it's guesstimated within about 30 minutes with a juice, especially so broken down, it's going to work, going into your cells.
Yeah, so it's almost like a nature's multivitamin and multimineral. Is it okay to combine everything? Are you getting the same benefits when you combine all the ingredients at the same time versus, say, I take a celery juice now, and then I have a greens drink a couple hours later, just so that the nutrients can better absorb without a competition?
Yeah, I almost hesitate saying this on the heels of drinking celery alone, but I did find it a study on the synergistic effects of combining different vegetables together. It didn't single out any vegetables as these combinations are fabulous, but it looked at the synergistic effect of more effective combined, working together, providing different nutrients, like one vegetable is dominant in something and another one's dominant in something else, and you combine them and you've got a really good combination.
Yeah, that's good to know, because I combine a bunch of things at once and I was wondering if I'm wasting all these precious vegetables or if it's actually going to work possibly better together.
Better. Yes. Mm. Better together.
I'm sure you've gotten this question before, Sherry, and I'm imagining you're well prepared for it. But for those following an elimination diet where they're cutting things, maybe they're going carnivore, or they're completely eschewing all plants and produce in their lives, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you're saying going like keto, high keto, very few vegetables, right?
A dirty keto or a carnivore where it's like pretty much devoid of all vegetables and maybe even fruits.
Yeah, my light bulbs go off. I'm going, yikes. Short term, we can get away with a lot of things short term. If you're doing something short term, few weeks to maybe jumpstart that weight loss, and that's your choice. But going very long is not a good idea. Going without those vegetables, I was cringe when I look at what small amount is allowed for some of these programs, because it's not going to produce long-term good health. You know, a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, you'll probably be okay, but do not stay on that a long time. I wouldn't go months.
Yeah. And even if there aren't overt nutrient and vitamin deficiencies, there's still like the whole bioenergetics, the life force, the things that we can't quite quantify yet that are not there in animal foods.
Exactly. And I don't know if you've looked at Curlian photography, that special photography that measures the light rays coming out of raw plants. It's beautiful, all different colors, big spikes, big rays. And you cook that plant, goes down to little itsy bitsy things. That I call the life force. Yeah. We're bringing that life force that is filled with light and color and life into our bodies. And so if we're having all these meats and they're cooked and we're not getting that life force. And there's place for some, but we need that life force in our body.
Yeah. I think what can make sense is if you have problems with digestion and you can't necessarily digest and assimilate whatever plant food it is, because some raw foods have anti-nutrients, phytates, trypsin inhibitors, all that kind of stuff that prevents humans from breaking it down. So possibly if you have an acute challenge like that, you can take it out for a bit and then gradually reintroduce it, and making sure that it's not a contamination problem. It's not the heavy metals that are present in the GMO produce or whatever you're consuming, that it's actually the cleanest quality possible, and slowly reintroducing it over time to make sure that you get back to the way humans have been eating for a while.
Yes, absolutely. And when people are trying to get back, that's when juice comes in as being very important, because it's broken down so well. So I usually have people start with juices and they seem to do well. They're not getting that insoluble fiber that has been irritating for them.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. Sherry, we didn't even talk about your background. How did you get into this to begin with?
Yeah, that is why I'm so passionate. I was really sick in my 20s. I had chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia. I was really bad. I couldn't work. I had to quit my job. And I went to a few doctors. I had very little money, and quit because I was tired of hearing there's nothing, you know, can be done. And for those conditions, there still isn't. They manage people with drugs, which is useless. They feel worse and they continue to get worse. So I was very frustrated and I thought there's got to be a way out of here and I'm going to find my way out. So I went to some health food stores and talked to people and read a couple of books, and that it dawned on me, I'm doing everything all wrong. I was a sugaraholic. I did not like vegetables. I loved fast food and junk food. I went to lots of fast food restaurants. That was kind of my life. I ate granola for breakfast, which was a lot of sugar, just on and on, doing everything all wrong. So I heard about juicing. I got my first juicer. I decided I'd go on a 5-day juice fast because I read about that somewhere. And on the fifth day, my body expelled a tumor the size of a golf ball. It was a solid tumor. It was about that thick. It had blue blood vessels attached to it. So I'm going to take a little side trip and tell you about those, because at the time, my mouth was like yours. Ah, what yeah. is this? And I wanted to know where did those blood vessels come from and what on earth? It looked like somebody cut them. So now I call it nature's scissors, because something had cut them, all of those vegetables. I learned about when I got my master's degree in whole foods nutrition, and my thesis was nutrition and cancer. I learned about angiogenesis. The body will create blood vessels growing to tumors to feed it. That's its gravy train. We want to cut that off and starve it. That's what I'd done in 5 days. Wahoo. I did not know I had that. And had I not done that, I am sure I would have followed in my mother's footsteps. She died of cancer when I was 6 years old. I am quite sure I would not be here. But having seen that, my body getting rid of that, I thought, I'll wake up tomorrow, I'm sure, well. No, I did not wake up well. My body was on a journey. I needed to be on a journey. And so I stuck with it. I was going through detox, and I had had a really bad diet for most of my life. I started eating tons of sugar when I was very young. And so I had a lot to detox, and I had good days and bad days. I would juice every day, and then I added in lots of vegetables in the form of salads and soups and stir fries and some brown rice. And I went mostly vegan, all vegan, excuse me, that summer. And I had good days and bad days, and it was that my body was cleansing. It had ups and downs. And so one morning though, 3 months into it, I woke up and thought, somebody gave me a new body in the middle of the night. I felt like jogging, and I hadn't felt that way. I couldn't even remember when. And I thought, okay, I called that a cure. That was just like the best cure on earth. You know, we think cure in our society, you do this, take this, get better, you go back to your life. So I did. Went back to Southern California, and my life and my friends who are all going out for pizza and cheeseburgers and fries and yuck. So I thought, well, I can do a little bit of that again. And my symptoms started creeping back in, and that scared the daylights out of me. When you've been really sick, like feeling I felt like I had the flu all the time and I ached all over and fuzzy brain and no energy. And then suddenly you have none of that and you feel fabulous, and then you start losing it. It is the scariest thing ever. So yeah, my light bulbs went on. Thought, this has got to be a way of life. This was not just a cure. This is like it. This is it. This is your fuel. And so I went through grieving think I have to grieve. I can't go out with my friends for pizza anymore. You have to find ways that you can go out with people and you can find something to order anywhere that you go, salad or something. You can find something. And I trial and error, I would try a little bit, wake up with a food hangover, feel crummy, foggy brain, headache, like, oh, yuck, this is awful. Okay, I can't eat that. And it was just trial and error. Can't eat that. Can't eat that. Finally had to have a talk with myself. You can't have this, but you can have this, because in this hand is life, and you can have energy and you can feel good and you can eat foods that give you life, or you can be sick. Yeah. Which would you like? You know, and the sickness is just like momentary. Your taste buds are happy for maybe half an hour and then you feel crummy for days. It's not worth it. And I've had people I work with that have said, well, the one slogan, nothing on earth tastes as good health. And that is so true. So after all of that and my trials and errors, I thought, I'm going back to school and I'm going to get a Master of Science in Whole Foods Nutrition so I can be a credible source of information.
Wow. That is quite the journey.
Yeah.
And I want to double click into something you said there. When you remove a food, a bunch of processed foods, French fries and pizzas, you might not necessarily feel better instantly.
No.
But you, it's like pressing the reboot button. It gives your body the ability to all of a sudden understand what are the sensitivities, what are the intolerances, because those don't necessarily show up right after you do it. It might take a day or 2 days or even 3 days after you're exposed to it, whenever it is, you eat the pizza, then 3 days later, you're experiencing like the full-blown effects. So by taking it all away for 5 days, then when you reintroduce things, you're much more aware of what you're capable of feeling and what you do feel.
Oh, you said it so well. Thank you. That summed it up. And I call it the haywire body, with all the junk, the fast food, the congestive foods, the toxic things. After a while, your body doesn't know what is going on and you think you're craving a bowl of ice cream. You know, when you probably need a green vegetable, but your taste buds aren't going to tell you that. And when your body, you said it so beautifully, when it gets cleaned out, we can hear it, it can talk, and we can know we did something that wasn't good. But when it's all congested, you don't know that. You don't hear that.
Yeah. And the certain microbes in your gut, they will also make you crave sweets and things that you used to eat that was like part of your old pattern, because they want to survive and proliferate. So there's that working against you initially until the microbial composition changes. But then there's also something you briefly mentioned, and that's the detox reaction, because you feel great now. But for a lot of people, when they start and they make this big shift, they don't feel great initially.
No, and I didn't. And a good portion of my 3 months of recovery, I didn't. And I had days where I thought I felt worse than when I started. So as stuff comes out, comes up to the surface and out, we don't feel so great many times, but it's worth it. And I always say to everybody, hang in there, just drink tons of water, flush out your system, do a sauna, whatever you know, can do. Detox baths are helpful. On and on it goes. But do everything you can do, but don't give up. Don't throw in the towel because you feel crummy today, because you're going to come on the other side of it and you're going to feel better than you felt in a long time when those toxins have made their way out.
Yes. And do you want to do anything in particular to like bind to, say, the heavy metals that are beginning to leave your body as you switch to consuming more juices?
Yes. Oh, thank you. And you can add to this if you recommend anything, but I love bentonite clay. I mix it with fiber, psyllium husk fiber. I often drink that at night. It does bind up some heavy metals and toxins, and it helps to clean off the sides, the walls of the colon. That bentonite clay is really good for that. I found a product when we had some black mold in our house called zeolite. And that was helpful for both molds and metals. Cilantro, they call it the cheap man's heavy metal detox. And people have told me, whoa, it worked. I mean, they had, you need a lot. So it's like a whole bunch, one big bunch of cilantro, blend it up, juice it up, or do a cilantro salad. It is very helpful for especially mercury and aluminum. binding those up and getting them out of your system. Oh, and charcoal. I love activated charcoal. It's good for a variety of toxins and helpful. Is there anything else you use that?
With the activated charcoal, are you concerned about it also absorbing some of the nutrients you're getting out of your juices?
Oh, yes. Yeah, oh, definitely. I should say I have specific and targeted times to use charcoal. And that's if people are really getting sick, if you're throwing up, it can bind up and help people pretty quickly. It's something also I recommend when people have food poisoning, but yeah. It's not something recommended for every day, for sure. Yes.
When I've had food poisoning, nothing works quite like charcoal. It's amazing how I can be like violently ill and then take that and a half an hour later, just feel temporary relief for a couple hours. And then I take some more and continue that until I feel better. But also like whenever you do activities that are going to increase like the detoxification load in the body, say that's juicing, say that's sauna, say that's intense exercise, a lot of different things can do it. But if you feel crappy afterward, that can be a sign that you're liberating some of those toxins. And when you do that, you want to bind it to something like either the clay or activated charcoal. Another favorite of mine is chlorella, which is really good at binding to toxins as well. And it doesn't have the same issue of indiscriminately binding to things. So it doesn't bind to nutrients, which is cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Thank you. That was excellent.
What else? What else do people know before they get started with this? Any other recommendations you have?
Get a good juicer. People always ask me, what's the best juicer? And I always say, the best juicer on earth is the one you'll use every day, right? Yes. If you won't use it, they can tell you it has every bell and whistle on the planet. If it's hard to use, hard to clean, you won't use it. So it doesn't matter how snazzy it is or all the things it will do. Yeah, so look for one that's easy to clean, easy to use. My favorite one is Nama J2. I am in love with this juicer. And here's why. It has two chambers. So in the upper chamber, you put in your cut up produce, close the lid, turn it on, walk away and go do other things. It juices for you. It chops up in the upper chamber, feeds it into the lower cold pressed masticating juicer chamber. Mm-hmm. And it takes over there and the juice pours out one side and the very, very, very dry pulp comes out the other. Mm-hmm. And you are done. And you can go make some other food or whatever you want to do while it's doing its thing. And it's very, very easy to clean. So I love that juicer. And everybody that has come back to me and reported on it has said the same thing. Thank you. Thank you. I love it. And I've not had one person say, I don't like this so well, I want to return it. No, I've not. And I've had that with many other juicers I've recommended. It's like, returns and people weren't so happy, but never with this one. So if anybody listening doesn't have a juicer and you want that, use my code JuiceLady55 and you get $55 off and free shipping.
Sweet. Thanks for that. Mm-hmm. And also not to underestimate the importance of ease of cleaning because it can be the best juicer in the world. And if it's a pain to clean, I know from personal experience that quickly gets put in the list of things to donate.
Absolutely. You're done with this. Yeah. We had one that it was popular for a while. Everybody was getting this particular juicer, cold press juicer. It took my husband and I together 20 minutes, little toothbrush going around. And I said, nope, I sold it.
Yeah.
That, not dealing with that.
Last thing we haven't talked about. And what is cold pressing? And does that matter?
Yes. I don't know to what degree. I found one little study out of Australia, and I call it the kitchen study, I think, because I think it was somebody who did a study on their own somewhere. But they did identify, they said, more nutrients preserved in the cold press juicer versus the centrifugal, the one that spins around and bursts cells open. So a masticating or cold press juicer will either press this way, that's what the Nama does, or it'll press this way, the roller blade will press. So the difference is there isn't the friction. It isn't the spinning blade that's bursting open cells. It's more pressing out the juice. So it less friction. People call that also less heat. People get confused like, well, my juice isn't hot. Yeah. But it's the friction that is going to destroy more and get more oxygen in there and destroy more nutrients. So I am a fan of cold pressed juice, especially since I found the Nama, because a lot of cold pressed juicers that I've used in the past, you either had to cut things up in little tiny pieces to go through a small little opening in the top. And then you're just like cutting, feeding. It's like, oh no. Now, Nama has changed my life. Chop it up, big pieces, throw it in, close the lid, you're done. It's like, whoo, so easy. And you can have cold press juice. And yeah, go for it. Go for cold press, because I do believe it's true just intuitively, even if I hadn't found that one little study, intuitively, it makes sense. It's going to preserve.
I have a Vitamix blender when I make smoothies and I put it on high, really blend it well. Sometimes I will actually feel the blender itself, the juice, the liquid inside the smoothie has gotten hot.
Oh, so yeah. When
that happens, you're going to lose some of the enzymes and other constituents in the juice that are heat sensitive.
Yes, for sure. Heat is going to destroy your nutrients. Mm-hmm. Don't let it discourage you, and don't not blend or juice because a little heat.
Yes.
It'll still get a lot.
Yes. And then you were just mentioning oxygen, and that can break down some of the nutrients too. So is there a time recommendation on after you've juiced or blended, how long it can sit? Can I bulk juice, or is it best to do it just shortly before consuming?
So I'll give you the ideal to the practical. It's always best the faster you can drink it. Of course, you're just going to get the most the faster that you have it. However, it's a real world we live in. And I have talked to so many people who bag the whole thing. Oh, because I can't do it and drink it right away. And so I'm just not going to do it. No, do it. Yeah. Anyway, do it anyway. And if you have a cold press juicer and you put it in a jar with a lid that you can, you know, get or something, a bottle of jar, and fill it all the way to the top, get as much oxygen out, you can probably keep that 48 hours is guesstimated. With time, even like that refrigerated, it's going to lose a little more as time goes on. There isn't a magic drop-off point unless you heat something. Boom. Yeah. Then you do lose a big chunk. You can also freeze juice and get those little canning jars like at hardware stores. And this time, don't fill it all the way to the top because it'll burst. It'll expand and burst. So leave some space at the top. Freeze it. It will probably expand right up to the top. Now you've got, you know, you've done bulk juicing and you've got juices for maybe days, and you can pull them out as you need them out of your freezer. And frozen foods, they've done studies on those and found good preservation of nutrients in those. So that's made it possible for very busy people, families with kids. Life is crazy during the week, you know, trying to get out the door in the morning, work, school, everybody's running. But these little jars of frozen juice have been a real answer for a lot of families, pulling those out maybe the night before or early in the morning and giving them a chance to thaw out a bit. There are people who take them in the car on the way to work, take them to work with them. So it's made life easier. I always say in the end, don't throw the whole idea out because you can't do it perfectly. Do it anyway. And even if you've lost some, it's still going to be better than probably almost any other drink you could buy out on the market. So just go for it. Make it work in your life. No matter how busy you are, you can make it work. And if you think you're too busy to make it work, you're too busy not to make it work, because this is going to give you more energy and maybe you'll get an extra 20 or 30 minutes out of your day because you're just a little more organized and focused and a little more energy.
Yeah. I love that idea about doing it in bulk and freezing it because, yes, there's research that even some frozen vegetables and produce is more nutritious than when you buy it fresh in the store because of how long it takes to go from farm to your mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Sherry, I know you got to run in a minute. So we will start to wind down and we'll do a quick rapid fire round. But first, I have a couple more questions for you.
Okay.
If people are interested in connecting with you and following your work, how do they find you on the internet?
Come to juiceladyinfo.com. Don't forget the info or you won't get there. juiceladyinfo.com. You can connect with me. You can get on my email list. I send out emails twice a week with recipes, nutrient tips, things going on in events. And it's a great way to connect and be part of that. Go to, I have Instagram reels constantly. So Juice Lady Sherry, C-H-E-R-I-E, and don't forget the E at the end. And I have constant juicing reels going. So my mini movies, I call them. They're fun and they've got nutrition tips and you can just see the juice splashing and it's wonderful. It makes you feel good.
I love it.
It's less than a minute of pleasure of juice splashing. And you can come to my retreats. I have a couple, my husband and I have a couple of retreats a year, and it's a place where people can get hands-on help. Everything's done for you. So your juices are handed to you. Your wheatgrass juice is handed to you. Your raw foods, we start with gourmet raw from gourmet pizza, which is a buckwheat Italian cracker crust made with some carrot pulp and buckwheat groats. And it's wonderful. It's delicious. Garlic and herbs and cashew cheese and raw pesto. Anyway, that's kind of my gourmet type of foods that we serve. It's everybody goes, wow, they're thinking they're coming for, you know, a prison, juice mm-hmm. prison or something. And then they go, oh, I think this is going to be fun. And then we do a couple of days of juice fasting. We end with raw foods and we have classes on emotional, mental detox, de-stressing. Right. And I do the food prep classes. And so it's a whole person approach. My husband's a psychotherapist and a priest, so he handles all of that. That's and beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a wonderful week. We start ours coming up Sunday and Sunday through Thursday. And people are always like rejuvenated. They lift the burdens of their soul and their bodies and feel better from head to toe and inside out. So do check that out. And then the Nama juicer, don't forget, if you don't have a juicer or you have a juicer you really don't like, you've got to check out Nama. J2, and remember the code JuiceLady55, and you get $55 off and free shipping.
Yeah, I will put all that in the show notes. And thank before you. We go into the rapid fire round, imagine that all knowledge on earth is gone. You get to save the works of three teachers. Who do you choose and why?
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, and I'm so sorry to say, I love Dr. Mercola's, all his research. And it got stripped off the internet. I mean, you know, that's a long story and we won't go there, but, you know, political free speech kind of thing. So I would preserve every one of his amazing research articles and studies. And I love Mike Adams' work as well. The Health Ranger, he's done a super job. I also think about Ann Wigmore, the pioneer of wheatgrass juicing, and she really gave us so much. I might throw in a fourth one, Norman Walker. He was the pioneer of juicing way back in the 30s, and his books are even hard to find right now, but he really knew a lot. He didn't have recipes, but he had numbers of, you know, carrot and beet and celery. He would just combine things, but he was a wealth of knowledge. Some of the pioneers from way back, they really knew. From practical, you know, working with people, they really knew a lot.
I will have to look into that last one. I've heard of the others, yeah, but
better. Yeah.
All right. We'll do a quick rapid fire round and we'll call it a day. What are the biggest myths in juicing?
That juicing has too much sugar, and doctors say this to their patients all the time. You got diabetes, your A1C is too high, whatever you can't have your little kids juice because it's too much sugar. Well, what a myth, but they don't know about kale juice and cucumber juice and celery juice and how you can make it taste good with a little bit of apple. So that is a big myth that is just totally wrong. And I have worked with so many diabetics who've gotten off medication and managed their blood sugar with juicing and, of course, diet changes. You've got to have it all working together. The other big myth is that you shouldn't juice because it doesn't have any fiber. And I have heard that since 1993. Oh, Lordy, that is not true, first of all, because there is soluble fiber in juice. But then you're right, we have removed the insoluble fiber to give ourselves a vitamin mineral cocktail supplement.
What area of your own health and performance are you currently working on?
My gut. Oh, so many people are, and I've tried so many things, but I think I'm getting there. I think I'm improving. Several years ago, one round of antibiotics that I should never have taken because I got sick traveling, and our doctor friend said, I just had a patient that died. You better get on antibiotics. And it just totally messed up my gut. Yeah. And it's taken years to turn it around. People don't think one round can really mess you up, but it can. But I've been working, and I think I'm getting there.
Yeah. The research around even just one round is compelling and scary. And I've had dozens throughout my life, especially as a kid when I kept getting sick. So I can relate.
We're on the journey, but we're getting there, right?
What are you most interested in and researching these days?
I would say detox. It's such a toxic world we live in. Yeah. And I know that a lot of problems that people suffer from are from toxicity, from heavy metals to just congestion, just I call it the gunk throughout the body and the brain. And a lot of that is responsible for dementia and Alzheimer's and, of course, cancer. And on it goes, some of the most debilitating things that people are suffering from. And I know that a lot of that is stemming from all the toxicity throughout the body. I wish we had more research on it. Mine's just 101, watching people.
Yeah, there's two sides of that. The increased toxic burden and then also a decreased ability of our bodies to perform the tasks that they're supposed to perform because we don't have the necessary nutrients on board and the stress depletes nutrients further, et cetera, et cetera.
You got it. It's the two-pronged deal.
All right, last rapid-fire question, and that is, what is one thing that your tribe does not know about you?
Oh my goodness. I share so much. What don't they know? Oh, they don't know about my gut stuff. I haven't told them about that. Mm. Yeah. And I probably should. And to warn people, one round of antibiotics can mess you up for years.
Yeah.
I haven't talked about that, but thank you. I think I will.
Sherry, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been really fun chatting with you about this practice that people have heard of, don't know much about, and hopefully we can make it have a resurgence.
I hope so. Thank you. It's an excellent show. Thank you.
I'm Nick Urban, here with Sherry Kalbaum, signing out from mindbodypeak.com. Have a great week and be an outlier. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/ and then the number of the episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.